Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the invitation to be with you this afternoon. I'm very much looking forward to doing a couple demos, telling you a story that I think you'll be interested in, and then maybe opening up if we have time for discussion and Q&A. My name is Gary Moulton. I'm a product manager in Microsoft's Accessible Technology Group. The Accessible Technology Group is part of the Windows Client organization within Microsoft, and that's the group that's responsible for this new version of the operating system that you might have heard of called Windows Vista. Because I'm in marketing, I'm planning on going into a lot of details today, and I'm not sure whether or not that's appropriate or not. So I'm going to use anybody that walks out as an indication that I'm really off the mark here in terms of what I'm presenting, and I'll just keep talking until there's nobody left in the room. I am a Vista user myself, for obvious reasons, being part of the Windows Client organization. Need to begin using the operating system that we're going to be releasing in the first part of 2007 on a day-to-day basis. Currently, the operating system is at a beta 2 level, and the machine that I'm going to actually be demoing on today is an earlier version of the Windows Vista build from the one that I usually work on at my office. That's basically, suffice it to say that, as you know, it's a federal requirement for any presentation that's dependent upon technology to have one major technical difficulty in the course of the presentation. And as a result, I expect to be in full compliance with the federal regulations sometime this afternoon as a result of that. As I said, there's only three things I'd like to accomplish this afternoon. I would like to tell you the story that we believe represents the accessibility accomplishments that we've been able to achieve with Windows Vista. I want to do a couple demos. I have a screen reader, Window Eyes, installed on this machine that I'll be demonstrating here this afternoon on this beta 2 build of Vista, and I'm hoping you can take me on a tour, those of you that are familiar with Window Eyes, through the new version of Vista. Then I want to show you some of the new accessibility features that are part of the operating system, specifically the Ease of Access Center, and then, as I say, wrap it up with discussion, Q&A, maybe going into some next steps as well. Let me begin with Chapter 1 of the accessibility story behind Windows Vista by saying that it represents, I believe, Microsoft's unique approach to building an accessible operating system. I really think we've taken it to the next level in terms of accessibility to operating systems. So as we go along, you'll see why I profess to make that particular claim. But at the same time, it's not to say that it's the only way to build an accessible operating system. So if there's anything at the end of this particular story that jumps into your mind as something that we might do differently in the next version of the operating system, that's the kind of information that we'd love to hear. The second part of this accessibility story necessitates working very closely with assistive technology vendors. For example, I do have, and thank you very much to the folks at GW Micro for giving me permission to demonstrate their current version of Window Eyes working on Windows Vista. I think that's a bit historic. In the 20 years or so that I've been working in IT companies dealing with assistive technology products, I've never known a situation where an assistive technology product of any kind has already been compatible with the operating system before that operating system or that application got into beta 2. WindowEyes was compatible, was up, that is to say, up and running on Windows Vista pre-beta 2, and I think that's a pretty historical event that certainly speaks loads to the accomplishments of the folks at GW Micro. And again, I want to thank them for permission to be able to demonstrate their screen reader here this afternoon. And then finally, changes and whatnot that we have made in Vista. There's a number of them that we've included in the operating system to make it easier to be used by individuals with disabilities and functional limitations. I'll deal with some of those as I go along and complete the story. At the same time, I'll also demonstrate some of those features here in just a bit. So how do we come up with this approach that I'm talking about in terms of making an operating system accessible to individuals with disabilities? Let me take you back to the days of pre-Windows XP. What we were doing at that time is we were working, Microsoft's Accessible Technology Group was working with the internal teams within Microsoft that were responsible for the various components that were built into the operating system to alert them and to evangelize the idea that to be accessible, they had to ensure that assistive technology products were compatible with their particular components, the particular technology that they were building for Windows XP at the time. And the question that always came up, well, what does that mean? Who do we work with? And how do we determine who we work with? Well, in the Accessible Technology Group, we always talk about the five major categories of disabilities and the 16 different types of assistive technology products that are used by individuals who have various different types of disabilities to have access to an operating system or an application to be able to use it just like anyone else does, to learn to work, to think, and to play. So with Windows XP, what we did is we assembled a group of eight assistive technology manufacturers that represented at least one product in each one of those categories. So there was a product there that was used by individuals with learning disabilities, individuals with mobility impairments, individuals with vision impairments, language impairments, and so on. And we brought them onto campus for a week-long porting lab with Windows XP. Of those eight manufacturers, our goal was to ensure that each one of those eight products were going to be SIM shipping, meaning they were going to be compatible with Windows XP. There's an individual already leaving, so I know I'm off the mark a bit in terms of the detail. Thank you very much, sir. Six of those products. We wanted to make sure that all eight of those products were compatible with the operating system when it shipped at the same time. And the reason for that is anybody having to do with assistive technology and accommodations for individuals with disabilities hates to show up the day to work, the day after a new operating system or application ships. Right? Most of you, I think, are sort of nodding in agreement to that. You know that the different hardware and software products that you're dependent upon are not going to be compatible with the new operating system. Well, we wanted to ensure a different kind of experience with Windows XP. Well, out of those eight products that we work with in this porting lab for Windows XP, within 6 months of the shipment of Windows XP, six of those products were up and running on Windows XP. Now, at the time, this goes back now, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, that was a major accomplishment because the track record up until that time was individuals with disabilities typically had to wait a year, maybe a year and a half, in some cases almost 2 years, before the assistive technology products that they were using were compatible with the new operating systems or applications that were out there. And of course, if you're waiting 18 months or 2 years. Typically, you're stepping upon a new operating system or new application that's coming out. So in a sense, you're never catching up. So the problem in the Windows XP experience is we only had 6 of the 8 that we wanted to get compatible with Windows XP. But those products were not available at the time, the actual date when Windows XP launched. We wanted to change that for the next version of the operating system. And part of the problem, as we dissected what difficulties that we were having, is we conducted this porting lab after the code for Windows XP was locked down. So any technical issues, barriers, and whatnot that we encountered in the course of the porting lab, we really couldn't do anything about. We basically had to do a workaround for the particular assistive technology product. So with that particular background, we decided we wanted to apply the lessons learned from Windows XP to our work on Longhorn, which was the code name for the next version of the Windows operating system. And we decided to use the focus for that effort, our Microsoft Assistive Technology Vendor Program. Now, I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with that program, but it's a program that's managed by the Accessible Technology Group, where we provide particular assistance for assistive technology manufacturers. Currently, there are over 150 assistive technology manufacturers from around the world that are part of the our MAPVP program. And those particular manufacturers represent over 300 different types of assistive technology hardware and software products. And if any of those manufacturers were in the room today, they'd probably say the most significant benefit of being a member of the MAPVP program is the premier technical support that's provided by Microsoft via the Accessible Technology Group. Now, premier technical support comes at a great expense to companies that have those kinds of contracts with Microsoft. Typically, an assistive technology manufacturer or vendor are typically very small companies and don't have the resources to have a premier technical support contract with Microsoft, given the hundreds of thousands of dollars that those technical contracts, support contracts, cost. But the Accessible Technology Group provides a premier technical support for all the Microsoft Assistive Technology Vendor Program members. And we believe that helps them resolve the technical issues that they have dealing with our operating systems and applications, and also enable them to provide much better support for their individuals who are using their particular product. Because I would imagine no small number of end users of assistive technology products who are using an operating system or an application, and specifically a new one, using it for the first time, running into a technical difficulty of some kind, calling up their assistive technology manufacturer and being told, well, that's not the problem of the assistive technology, that's the problem of, you know, either the hardware manufacturer or the operating system or the application. So in that particular situation, the end user gets caught in the middle. So we believe this technical support contract will eliminate some of those bottlenecks for the end users. But in any case, in terms of circling the wagons around the Microsoft Assistive Technology Vendor Program, we really set up an objective and a goal to do better in terms of Windows Longhorn. Probably going to be using Windows Longhorn, Windows Vista simultaneously, so bear with me until I sort of have it ingrained in my mind that the operating system does have a name, no longer a code name, any longer. But the first thing that we did to try to improve this compatibility of assistive technology products with a new operating system is we did an extensive survey of the MAPVP membership. And basically what we wanted to find out was, what are the particular techniques and strategies that you are dependent upon for your particular assistive technology hardware or software product to be compatible with our operating system? We were actually asking them for confidential technical information that we promised not to share with other vendors, primarily in the same classification, because as you can imagine, probably some of these techniques and strategies that are used by certain assistive technology manufacturers, they've learned those and acquired those and developed those particular techniques and strategies at great cost to themselves, and it basically is a competitive and strategic advantage for them to have these particular ways to interact with operating systems and applications to ensure that their particular products work. Not all 150 members participated in this, but we got a fairly good amount of technical information that we could assemble in a list that we could monitor as the operating system was under development to identify what particular kinds of techniques and strategies we were going to break as a result of our development of this new operating system. Now, the importance of that is those are the types of things that are only found out after an operating system ships. So a new operating system comes out, an assistive technology product is installed on it, and all of a sudden we find out it's not working. Typically what we find when we scratch below the surface there is a particular strategy or technique or technical way that the product has been architected is no longer supported by the new operating system. So we wanted to keep religious focus on these particular techniques and strategies that were being used by assistive technology manufacturers, so when we did break them or we made any change, we could immediately notify them that they needed to, that we needed to work with them directly to ensure that the product was going to work on the next version of the operating system. The second thing that we did was at the time, now again, this goes back 3 or 4 years now, so I'm in a sense talking history as far as the operating system is concerned. Longhorn, Windows Vista at the time, was really going to, was designed and architected to represent a real significant change in the architecture of the Windows operating system. And we knew that the assistive technology manufacturers, the members of our program, were going to have to do almost, in most cases, a complete rewrite of their applications to be able to work on this new operating system. In other words, they were going to have to invest considerable time and energy. Their product, as it was working on Windows XP, was not going to work. We definitely knew it was not going to work on Windows Vista. So we brought them, as many as wanted to attend, onto the Microsoft campus for a 2-week event. And we provided them with technical training, actual code training, that they were going to have to know to be able to re-architect their particular products so that it would work on this new version of the operating system, because the way their products were going to be architected, the way they were going to be written, and the way they were going to be installed was going to be radically different. And we provided the actual developer guru to actually do the training of the assistive technology manufacturers in this new architectural model that they were going to have to use. At the same time, we had under development a brand new accessibility technology that was going to be included in Windows Vista to replace Microsoft Active Accessibility. Now, the significance of that is that a fair number of screen readers and screen magnifiers, as well as mainstream applications and certainly the operating system, use Microsoft Active Accessibility to provide access for individuals who are blind or visually impaired. We knew at the time that Microsoft Active Accessibility, MSAA, was not going to work on this next version of the Windows operating system. We had to come up with a new architecture. I can't remember what the code name was for that architecture. I think it was called PAWS. Programmable Access to Windows. I think that's what the code name was of this architecture. But anyway, when we were doing this training, this two-week training with the assistive technology manufacturers, we spent a week doing a design review of this new architecture that we were planning to develop for Windows Vista that was going to replace Microsoft Active Accessibility, and we got their feedback. We wanted to get their feedback, their detailed feedback, before we actually architected that. And that was very helpful. But the story at that particular time was the assistive technology manufacturers were going to have to do a lot of work for the applications to work on Windows Vista, and Microsoft, specifically the Accessible Technology Group, had a lot of work to do on this new architectural model that was going to replace Microsoft Active Accessibility. Then everything changed. It became known at Microsoft as a reset. But in actuality, what it represented for the assistive technology manufacturers and specifically for the Accessible Technology Group, that this huge change as far as accessibility goes, moving from Windows XP to Windows Vista was not going to play out as we had initially expected it was going to. In fact, we, looking through this this technical information that we collected in the course of the survey, we believe that 85 to 90% of the assistive technology products that were already working on Windows XP were going to work just as is on Windows Vista. So if an assistive technology manufacturer had compatibility and had a product up and running on Windows XP, chances are it was going to work just like that, just like it was on Windows XP and Windows Vista. But we continued to track what the specific technical issues and whatnot that the assistive technology manufacturers were to use just to make sure that we weren't creating any unnecessary barriers. There was one major exception to this that necessitated an architectural move on Microsoft's point in conjunction with assistive technology manufacturers, and I'm guessing each one of you this afternoon can imagine just exactly what types of assistive technology products were caught in that particular those particular crosshairs. Windows Vista, by design, is an incredibly different appearing looking operating system. Anyone looking at Windows Vista will immediately be impressed by the very different look to this particular operating system as opposed to Windows XP. Well, to provide that very different look, there was incredible time and energy invested in display and presentation technical capabilities that were built into the operating system, all of which we had to make accessible. And those that new display visual architecture definitely impacted on the screen reader and the screen magnifiers. At the time that we moved from this change from that we anticipated from Windows XP to Windows Vista, we had to come up with a new architectural component to ensure that screen readers and screen magnifiers would be getting the information that they needed from Windows Vista. And the architecture that we came up with as a result of that has to do with mirror driver technology. And what we did was we called in the assistive technology manufacturers, the screen readers and the screen magnifiers, to help us make sure that we got this mirror driver technology when we actually knew that we had to build it to be ready for Windows Vista, that we made sure that we got it right. So they came in and gave us all the feedback and whatnot that I think we needed to work with to ensure that screen readers and screen magnifiers were going to be compatible with Windows Vista when it launched. So that mirror driver technology, and I probably should mention at this particular time, I introduced myself as a product manager within marketing. That is to say that my technical expertise in being able to scratch very deeply below what this mirror driver technology represents is pretty limited. But I do want to emphasize that this particular architecture, this mirror driver technology, is enabling companies like GW Micro, who I'm going to be demonstrating here in just a minute, for their particular WindowEyes product to work with Windows Vista. So we know that this technology is robust enough to work. And then the final component in the story is I mentioned to you that with Windows XP, we hosted a 1 week porting lab on campus for assistive technology manufacturers. For Windows Vista, we hosted a porting lab with no end on the Microsoft campus. In other words, we invited them in. We said, this is about porting your product to Windows Vista. We don't want you to leave here, and we're not going to leave here until you have all of the issues, the technical issues, addressed to ensure that your particular product is going to be compatible with Windows Vista. We scheduled this particular porting lab. I mentioned before that we scheduled the Windows XP porting lab at a time before any changes could be made in the operating system. Well, this particular porting lab was conducted shortly after Beta 1 to ensure that if we did need to make any changes to support assistive technology manufacturers and the particular products that work that need to work on the operating system, and we need to make any changes in the operating system, we definitely had time to do that. And as a result, approximately 30 assistive technology companies arrived on campus for this work till you drop porting lab that we were conducting, and more than half of them left campus with their product already up, whether it was hardware or software, already up and running on a beta 1 version of Windows Vista. So we felt very, very excited about that. In addition, a couple of the assistive technology manufacturers, and I was delighted that these were the screen reader manufacturers, actually asked us whether or not they could take a build of Windows Vista to the CSUN conference in March and actually demonstrate to some of their users that they had a version of their product that was compatible with this upcoming new version of the Windows operating system pre-beta 2. So as I said at the start, that's basically never, to my knowledge, in the 20 years that I've been working on this, these types of things, both at Apple and Microsoft, as far as I know, has never been accomplished. That's sort of the end of the story. I think we've been remarkably successful to date, largely as a result of these steps, these learning from the lessons learned from Windows XP, if you will, the integration of assistive technology manufacturers into the process, the design reviews, the porting labs that we have conducted. One of the things that I didn't mention, we ensured that assistive technology manufacturers had access to interim builds. So they were working with the version of the operating system, the same version of the operating system that Microsoft internal groups were working on, as opposed to waiting for beta 1, beta 2, any of the release candidates, so that we're able to work on the same versions. And certainly their support has been much appreciated. But that's sort of the story, so that when Windows Vista launches in January, there is going to be a whole suite of assistive technology products that are up and running already, that will be published on our website, so that any users of assistive technology that need to use the new version, or want to use or have to use the new version of the operating system, have their assistive technology that's compatible with it the day that the operating system has launched. The technology that we were working on, I would refer to it, the code name PAWS, was going to be the replacement for Microsoft Active Accessibility. And this technology was going to enable largely screen readers and screen magnifiers to get access to much more breadth and depth of information, UI information that was coming out of the operating system. In fact, we believe that this technology is now called UI automation. We believe that UI automation, once it's adopted, will enable assistive technology manufacturers to no longer have to deal with the under-the-hood technical details of an operating system and application, that everything is going to be made available to them that they need for as a result of UI automation. And they will, for the first time, be able to concentrate on the user experience as opposed to the nitty-gritty technical details. Well, we knew that UI automation was not going to be beneficial to accomplish its goal. It's very similar to Microsoft Active Accessibility, that it has to be part of the operating system, it has to be part of the application, it has to be part of the assistive technology product. But the fact that there was this new presentation foundation that was part of the Windows Vista operating system that would require the re-architecture of the assistive technology to take advantage of, we wanted to provide sort of a bridge between those two things, so they didn't have to extensively rewrite their application, that they could use another technology component for getting that particular display UI information. And the mirror driver technology was the technology that we came up with to provide that interim bridge between Microsoft Active Accessibility and UI automation.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
This is Frank Welty, and as soon as I'm done, I'm going to turn this microphone over to somebody else. We've heard rumors about various radical changes in the user interface from the existing Windows platform to Vista, such as replacing the menu bar with something called ribbons and other scary-sounding things. Is it your perception that the screen reader that access technology is either going to work with these new interface elements out of the box. Alternatively, is there a simple way to revert the interface appearance back to something like Windows XP in the same way that it was easy for people to revert the Windows XP interface with just a few clicks here and there back to a classic view that worked better with screen readers?
Okay, well, I'm going to be actually able to demo that in just a minute, Frank, but the ribbon technology that you're talking about is part of Office 2007. And I know that particular product group at Microsoft has worked very extensively with the assistive technology manufacturers to make that new UI accessible to individuals who are blind or visually impaired as well. So the answer is yes. As far as the reverting to the classic versions, when I first installed Window Eyes, I had it installed on a classic version of the operating system, and I quickly changed over to the non-classic, the new Windows Vista interface, basically because I wanted to make sure that Window Eyes worked in that particular situation, and indeed it did. However, I do know that there, and I'll demonstrate this in just a second. You'll actually be able to hear this. When Window Eyes is turned on with this new UI in Windows Vista, some of this new display technology is automatically turned off. Now, operationally, to me, the computer doesn't work any differently. It's just the way that it looks on the screen. And it's very, very difficult for me to describe this. Gosh knows I'm not the world's greatest communicator. But with what you see with Windows Vista is this thing called glass. So the dialog boxes and the windows float over one another, and you can actually see through them. As a sighted person, so in essence, I get a clue to the window that's behind the window, and in some cases, the window that's behind that particular window. Now, I haven't gotten used to that, and I don't know whether or not that's going to improve my productivity. At 57 years of age, I doubt it. But it definitely looks good, right? To a sighted person, it looks like the operating system has been refreshed. Whether or not some of these very different display looks are going to, like I said, the significance is it going to make it more intuitive? Is it going to make it easier to use? Is it going to make it easier to navigate through Windows and whatnot? That I think the jury is still out on that. But operationally, the operating system, when Window Eyes is turned on, at least in terms of what I'm going to be demonstrating here in just a minute, just basically turns off what I would consider more of the sexy looking graphics that are on the screen. It doesn't affect the windows. It doesn't seem to affect the UI. It just looks different to me. But I do that's just a long way of answering Frank's question, that when the screen reader comes on, it automatically turns off some of those particular features that are new to Windows Vista, not interrupting the operation. So now I have I'm on the desktop with Window Eyes, and one of the brand new UI features, there's been some changes in the Start menu. So I'm going to hit the Windows key to call up the Start menu. Now, one of the new features here is that when you initially launch the Start menu, it goes right to the search box for entering text. Now, this is a UI feature that supposedly makes it easier to be able to navigate around the computer. Now, that's very, very different than the XP experience. But I myself haven't gotten used to this new UI, but I do have the ability to be able to use Window Eyes to go through the entire start menu. So I'm going to do that right now just to give you an idea of the items that are there, because this is a default install of Windows Vista.
Jackson, 1 of 13. List view opens the Jackson folder, where you can find folders for documents, pictures, music, and other files that belong to you.
Now, Jackson is the user that I'm booted into, and I'm going to navigate through that menu there.
Documents, pictures, music, games, search, recent items, computer, network, connect to, control panel, 11 of 13, pull down, provides options for you to customize the appearance and functionality of your computer, add or remove programs, and set up network connect. Default programs. Help and support. 13 of 13. Pull down. Opens a central look. Keeps your session in memory and puts the computer in a low power state so that you can quickly resume working. Button. Keeps your session in memory and puts the computer in a low power state so that you can quickly resume working.
I specifically navigated to that one because that's an icon that looks like, to me as I'm looking at the at the interface, it looks like it's a power down option. It's actually just puts it into a sleep state.
Internet, 1 of 11, list view, all programs, button, edit box, start search.
And then I'm back to the start search. So to the way that I work with the computer, although it looks different in that search UI is definitely a new feature. I still feel pretty comfortable in that using Windows Vista is very similar to the XP experience. I'm going to open up ease of access in the control panel. Now, this ease of access utility is put in there basically to replace the wizard and the utility manager that was there previously. This is basically to make it basically to be a one-stop center where individuals can customize the machine for their individual needs, and ease of access takes them through all of those components. We'll also when I turn this on, you'll also be able to hear one of the new Microsoft voices.
Computer easier to use. You can use the tools in this section to help you get started. Windows can read and scan this list automatically. Press the space bar to select the highlighted tool. You can tap through the options and select them by pressing the space bar.
Now, the options that come up for me at this particular point is I can start the magnifier, I can start narrator, I can start the on-screen keyboard, or I can set up high contrast. And I also have the option of exploring all the other the settings that are there. Use the computer without a display, make the computer easier to see, use the computer without a mouse or a keyboard, and so on. We believe we've made some significant investments in getting screen readers and screen magnifiers up and running and compatible with Windows Vista. I believe they're going to be shipping. Sims shipping with the operating system when it launches next year. Basically, what we have to do next, I believe, is there's still plenty of room for improvement, a better way to bridge the technical gaps, to reduce the cost of accessibility software, to increase usability. Of Windows Vista, the usability of the new version of the operating system. So if any of you have ideas, suggestions, or anything along that line, I'd certainly be very interested in hearing about those items. And again, I do thank you for allowing me to come here and present to you this afternoon. And like I said, I'll be more than happy to take any questions, additional questions that you might have.
Could you go into Notepad? Could we see, or WordPad? Could we see one of the programs work?
Sure. So I will turn Window Eyes back on. Do you want me to open Notepad or WordPad?
Untitled Notepad. Edit box.
Now hit the Alt key.
File F pull down.
That works.
They will.
Yeah. Now arrow to the right.
Edit view pull down.
Yeah,
yep.
Format O pull down.
Now down arrow.
Word graph W.
Yep.
Okay.
That's good. Now hit Alt again.
Menu closed. Good. Edit box.
Let me just summarize or follow up on, I think, what the sentiment of the room right now is that I think there are four basic long-term difficulties that the blind community has had with Microsoft in specific areas. First off, and these are all areas that we have been hammering on you for over 10 years. Item number one is that we want to be able to open up the Windows operating system box. We're not talking about applications. I'm coming to that later. We want to be able to plug in the CD and install the thing just like everybody else. It may be tricky, but you've had 10 years and more to figure it out. Item number two is that we want our Microsoft applications to follow generally accepted standards, which even Microsoft promotes of accessibility. Unfortunately, we don't need you to tell you how often that hasn't happened. And number three is that it's important that Microsoft's own software development tools aid in the production of accessible software. And number four is that Microsoft Press books need to be available in accessible formats. These are all four items we've been dealing with for a decade. And we're not asking you to give you a specific answer for this because you didn't come here to talk about those, but we would like you to at least give the feedback that those are ongoing sore spots in the blind community, and that we haven't been satisfied with the attempts to solve them up to this point.